Saturday morning on Power Talk 1460 and 101 FM. Our experts program is continuing with Edward King. He's our employment expert and also your job solution expert. AllianceTrains.com is the website. And welcome back.
Thanks, Mark. Good to be here again.
Hey, the other day we were talking about some bullet points about things to get done right now and some ways of thinking about the work and your business. And you had mentioned the fact that the month of March, if you're an ag company, is a really good time to get things like sexual harassment training done, because come April, when the field crews start coming back to the area, that means that they're just going to be too doggone busy. So let's hit that point right now.
Okay, that was very good. You know, we've got, like I had shared with you, we've got training down in Oxnard for both English and Spanish for some of our ag customers. And the reality is, not only is sexual harassment very, very critical, I mean, the reality is they had till June to help the already existing employees. Supervisors are regular staff. So do it in March, but not only sexual harassment, but get your people in for Excel training, get your people in for Outlook and Word training while they can be ramped up and be ready to go for the heavy season that we've got coming up.
Regarding sexual harassment training, let's say you're a big ag company and you use a labor contractor for the field crews.
Yeah.
Now, who's responsible to make sure that the sexual harassment training is done? The labor contractor or the parent company?
Good question. The labor contractor is required to actually do the training, but I believe that the HR management staff of the company, the ag company, should be ensuring that that training is being done. Because you know how the lawsuits are. I mean,
they
spread to the big guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so.
Right.
Good point, Mark. Thanks. So today...
Yeah, I want to find out. I'm looking forward to today because you gave me like a little preview on Tuesday.
Yeah, Armstrong and Getty should be doing this subject, but we're going to tackle it ourselves. So these are things you should never say to your employees. And, you know, the reality is we've all been around 20, 30 years or longer, and I bet we've all done these things like this in the past. But, you know, things have changed, so it's better to be safe. So here's the don't do this list. Section number one is about promises. So these are the things you need to avoid. Here's number one. Avoid this. Don't worry, you'll always have a job with us. No, that's really a bad thing. Now, I know from an emotional standpoint, sometimes you want to encourage your staff, and this could go from a supervisor to direct hire, and it's not a good thing to say because it sounds like that you're promising the employee permanent employment. Now, California is an at-will state, as most of them are, which means you can terminate employee for any reason as long as it's the reason is a lawful one. But to avoid this at-will status, you cannot go around and say, don't worry, you'll always have a job.
Oh boy.
Because at that point, you're kind of on the hook. The reality is business conditions change, as well as, on the other side, the employee's performance may slip. I mean, I've seen it over the years where I've had a very, very good employee. Something changes in their particular personal life or their attitude about life, and their performance slips to the point where, unfortunately, you really can't hold on to them. But if you have said in the past, don't worry, you'll always have a job with us, you're kind of like stuck between a rock and a hard spot.
So the important thing is, don't talk like a politician to your employees. Politicians can promise you a job
world.
For life because they're not accountable, but you are held accountable by the law.
That is absolutely true. The businesses, they need to maintain the flexibility to make employment decisions that are in the company's best interest. Now, that might sound selfish, but the reality is, if the company doesn't survive, everybody loses a job.
Right.
The customers lose the source of a great product, and the future of everybody is impacted if you don't have the flexibility to make good decisions. All right, so that was one. Here's another fun one. Avoid saying this. Once you get past your probationary period, you've passed the test. Because the implication of that is that your probationary introductory period, after you get past that, it becomes like tenure for a teacher. You got a job for life, and that is a big mistake. Recognize what these probationary periods are. It's used to assess the new hire's performance, and that will allow you to make the right decision, which could be, we've tried, it's probably not working out for you as it's not working out for me, so we're going to let you go. And there's still still that understanding on the part of a probationary period that things can unwind. Now, how long should a probationary period be? We typically use 90 days or 3 months. Sometimes I've seen 2 months, but the employees will make a mistake in believing that once they've successfully got through the probationary period, they're good.
In your years of managing businesses and people, how early in the process of a new hire can you tell if someone's going to work out or they're not going to make it past the probationary period?
As early as 1 to 2 weeks, easily.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you let it go all the way to the 90 days, or do you cut them off early if they're not going to work out?
No, you have to let them go earlier. I've even had a situation where it was at the end of the first day. No, seriously.
Because I believe that, but when that happens, and if you made the hire, do you end up asking yourself, how did I go wrong?
Absolutely.
How did I screw that up so badly?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a perfect point, Mark, because what you don't want to do is blame it on that new hire, because the reality was you were the one that was making the decision, and you have to analyze yourself. That goes back to what we talked about on Tuesday, where we said process with the truth as opposed to persecuting with bias. And the bias situation is the key point. Is it that you made the decision because of the way they look, or because they had this fancy resume, so you had these high expectations, but you really didn't do your due diligence, do a background check, ask previous employers for references, and so on and so forth. So key point there. Thank you.
And I guess the other thing is, too, is that it's easy to hold employees accountable. It's tougher to hold yourself accountable to yourself.
Yeah. Well, if you let your ego rule you, yes, you're correct. I like that. All right. So here's the next one. Again, well, these are on promises. Avoid this statement. Money is tight this year, so there will be no raises, but we will make it up to you next year.
Ooh.
And another example of that is, I'm sorry, you didn't get the promotion, but you'll get the next one. So obviously those are promises, and those are promises that you can't keep because you don't really know what next year is going to be like. You don't know if the business is going to be better. You don't know if the employee is going to go down into, how should I say it, their performance gets worse and worse and worse. And at that point, so while you may have good intentions, that's that emotional part, an employee can interpret this as a promise of a guaranteed raise or a guaranteed promotion next year. Don't make these promises. You can't keep them. You don't know what the business future is. So that's the good for the promises side. There are some problematic demands. How much time do we have left?
We have about another 3 to 4 minutes.
3 to 4 minutes. Okay, so let's not miss these. So here's a problematic demand. So avoid doing this. You didn't get all your work done because there are still several errors. Punch out and finish up off the clock. Now, I'm sure in today's world, people are smart enough, employees, managers, and so forth, are smart enough to recognize that that is not going to work. Employers must pay non-exempt employees for all hours worked. I can't emphasize it any more than that. Off-the-clock work would be a violation of this requirement. It is. Mm-hmm. You can't force them. It's kind of like what Starbucks just went through. They were getting, you know, they got sued from managers inside each of the Starbucks because they were required to check out and then walk the store and then lock up and do that last 15 minutes off the clock. So that's a perfect example. Even big companies like Starbucks make those kind of mistakes. So keep that in mind. The last problematic demand that we have time for today is this. Instead of overtime pay, I'll give you, this is a supervisor manager talking, I'll give you paid time off. For every hour of overtime, I'll give you 1.5 hours of paid time off instead of the extra pay. Sounds fair? That's kind of the question. And notice it's the employer who's suggesting this and not the employee asking this. Unfortunately, under federal law, non-exempt hourly employees are entitled to overtime pay, which is at the 1.5 times the regular pay rate, whenever they work more than 40 hours in a work week.
Not when they work more than 8 hours in a day?
Oh, yeah. There's those combinations, right?
Okay.
I'm just saying that in regards to federal law, and the reality is if they work overtime, over 8 hours, over 40 hours, and so forth, you have to pay them. And so even though that sounds good, like if they're dealing with budget hours and the bosses, their bosses are not going to let them do it, you really unfortunately can't get away with that.
And if they work more than 12 hours in a day,
double time.
That goes to double time.
Yeah.
All right.
Right. So there you go. Those are fun things. things. Do we have time for one more?
One more.
All right, great. Okay, another problematic demand. Avoid this. Can you, talking manager to employee, can you avoid mentioning your pay raise to coworkers? Now, I think a lot of businesses want to be able to do that. They don't want to start a fire in the middle of the staff if all of a sudden people are starting to see preferential treatment, or they're thinking, well, why did they get a promotion or a raise when I should have gotten a raise as well? But here's the deal. So under Section 7, this is fun, the National Labor Relations Act, employees have the right to act together to improve wages and working conditions and to discuss wages, benefits, and other terms and conditions of employment, even if they don't have a union. So it's with or without union contracts. This is the law. And the reason why is because I think there's been abuse and preferential treatment in the past, and it's finally come down to the law had to come into play and demand this of everybody. So unfortunately, you can't ask them not to share. I darn well hope they wouldn't share, but you can't control that.
If you have a great relationship with your employees, they will understand the need for confidentiality and discretion.
Yeah, most good employees have that understanding. The reality, though, is you can't demand it and you can't ask it.
Edward King of Alliance Career Training Solutions has been our guest today. He'll be back in 3 hours when he'll join us for Business Sense Radio and our topic today.
Well, our topic today is we're finally, after all of that background stuff, we're going to get to the actual to-do list on starting your own business from the beginning without all of the have we decided based on good decisions as opposed to wrong decision of why to start a business.
All right. It's 1:30 this afternoon on Power Talk Radio, 1460 and 101 FM, and we'll be on right after Jan Price's All About Movies. Edward, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Mark.
It's AllianceTrains.com and the website.
AllianceTrains.com, and the phone number is 831-755-8200. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 o'clock to 4 p.m.